Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hey, hey, upset of the weekend. I know this is Montel Jordan. Nobody, you admit it, you had no idea that I thought this was Montel Jordan. I wouldn't know that.
No, you would know this. This is probably one of the only songs in your high school that was being played, right?
It was iconic.
Yeah,
was
so, yeah, of course.
Unbelievable.
You would know this one. Yeah, this was one of the songs. It still lives to this day.
Mid-90s, right? Mid-90s?
Yeah, that's what it says. Your high school.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, but presented by?
But there's some stuff that we could play that you won't know.
No, we probably shouldn't play that coming in or out of bricks. Just my personal thought. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We've been joking about this for the last couple of minutes. We're going to be welcoming in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line a host of this show. So, good morning.
No.
Hang on.
He's a guest.
He's also a host.
He's not here.
Okay.
He's a guest. We're going to treat him like a guest. Put him on the clock.
So Jay Will joins his own program on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jay, good morning, man. How you doing?
Zubin, don't let Keyshawn force you into telling you that I'm a guest on my own show with Keyshawn. Don't let him do that. Well, Keyshawn, what are you doing going on national TV and radio trying to tell people comparing the Boston Celtics to the Philadelphia 76ers? What are you doing?
Think about what I said, though, Jay. Were you asleep or did you get third-hand information or did you actually hear it?
Oh, no, I listened to the conversation with you and Kendrick Perkins.
Okay. This is why I say this, and let me explain myself to you, Jay Will. If you look at where the Celtics were, three out of the last four, they've been in a championship, the Eastern Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been getting better and better. We've been waiting for them to get over the hump. They're down 2-0 to Miami. My whole point is we were waiting for Philadelphia, not Embiid laziness, not Simmons not being able to shoot. Don't look at that. I'm just talking about what we had as far as expectations for them over the last several years in disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Is this getting ready to happen to the Celtics, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, when it's going to get stronger when KD and Kyrie comes to Brooklyn? There's a guy that you know, one of the top three players, that is going to land on the courts in Brooklyn next season. Miami's going to get better. Milwaukee could get better depending on what happens with Giannis. And so when you start to look at that, could the window be closed on them in this situation a couple years from now? That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is I know we live in the vortex of we need to win yesterday. And if you can't win yesterday, then it's time to blow it all up.
I didn't say blow up.
All I'm saying, Key, is that they just had Kimba for his first year. It's in the midst of a pandemic. It's 2020. They're down 2-0, but they've all been single-possession games. And they've been to the conference finals three out of the 4 years. Like, that's incredible. And you have two stars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that are still trying to figure it out. But, like, yeah, is KD and Kyrie coming? Yeah, we'll see how KD operates off that Achilles injury. That's a big-time injury. I haven't seen a lot of players come back and be exactly the way they were other than maybe Dominique Wilkins. That's realistically it.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams are coming, but it's like Golden State's coming back next year too. So I think you keep this core together. And look, man, I don't believe that 2-0 down is like this thing, like the series is over. They can easily win two games against Miami. They could have won these past two games. It would have been a completely different scenario. That's all I'm saying.
No, and that's true. But we also said here on Keyshawn, Jay Will, his show, along with Zubin, and said that the Nuggets was cooked at 3-1 for the Clippers, right? We sat here and said that. And then look what happened. That's all I'm saying is when you look at the Sixers situation, high praise the process. They got it right. Everything, they're going to be okay. It didn't work out. The coach wind up getting fired. I'm not insinuating that that's going to happen in Boston. The only thing that I'm saying is the conference is only going to get better. So that window could be closing with everything that's surrounding the conference. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see the window closing. I think the window is still pretty open for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But I will say this, Key, to add to your point. I mean, Brad Stevens has gotten out coached the past two games now. I don't know why you wait until the fourth quarter to put Grant Williams in as the five. It seemed like he was the only person that knew what the hell he was doing, getting the ball in the middle of the zone. Eric Spoelstra switched to like a 3-2 zone. And, man, I'm sitting out here watching the game last night, watching the Bengals game as well at the same time, thinking to myself, man, like, I don't understand how you can't figure out a zone offense. I mean, Key, you're a hooper too. We've been playing against zone offense since we've been in first grade. You get the ball in the middle of the zone, you turn your face, you make a play. It felt like Boston all of a sudden went to this ISO ball. I can do it by myself. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how one of the best minds in the game of basketball could not figure out a 3-2 zone with the highly powered skills offensively that the Boston Celtics have. It's
I think when you go back to the first half of the game, as you watched it in obviously on NBA Countdown and doing what you do as an analyst, the first half of that game, Kemba Walker had a decent game because it was less zone and more man. And I think they were still stuck in that in the second half when Spoelstra made that switch. They were still kind of stuck. So, therefore, to speak to Brad Stevens, he never made that adjustment, second half adjustment. Spoelstra countered second half adjustment zone. He never countered, and he just let him continue to play ISO ball.
Well, that's the problem, though, Key, right? Like, they scored more points in the paint in the first half than they did, you know, any other half throughout the course of the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's ridiculous. More points combined than they did in the first game were points in the paint in a half. So, yeah, you played Enes Kanter. Yeah, you scored a lot of points in the paint. But isn't that what coaching is all about? Adjusting on the fly, changing up your scheme. It's not like you're looking at the Celtics saying that they lack the versatility pieces to actually do so. We're just watching Espo out-coach Brad Stevens.
I think
flat-out period what it is.
I think sometimes in coaching, though, a shock to your system happens when you don't expect something. You don't expect for him to come out in the second half and play zone. So then you don't have any adjustments ready. You figure, okay, I could call timeout. We can make that adjustment on the fly during a timeout. But coaches get shocked in the moment, and sometimes they never get back to making those adjustments. Let me ask you about the expectations tonight against my Los Angeles Lakers. We are going to be playing in the bubble. The Lakers against the Nuggets, what are you expecting out of both teams tonight?
Man, I know people are going to say this is disrespectful to the Nuggets, but look, let's just go ahead and crown the Lakers.
Yay!
Let's crown the Lakers. And is Jokic going to be hard to stop? Yes.
J. Will, You said Jokic is going to be hard to stop. He'll never have a 22-point rebound, a 22, what do you have, triple-double with 22 boards.
Yep.
He'll never get that against Dwight, AD,
JaVale McGee.
He got that against Zubac, man. Stop. Now I'm talking like a fan. Now, right?
You're right. You can talk like a fan, Key. This is your squad. I would say this, man. Frank Vogel is known for his defensive assignments. The one thing that Denver is incredible at is ball screens with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in the middle of the floor. So I will look for the Lakers to throw a lot of junk defenses. I will look for JaVale McGee to start off on Jokic. Now, Jokic has destroyed JaVale McGee throughout the regular season. But the amount of bodies you can throw at Jokic, from Dwight Howard, you can put LeBron James on him from time to time, to AD, you give him a variety of looks. Maybe the Lakers can even go a triangle on two. This way you stop all that pick and roll in the middle of the court. Like, there's so many things because of the Lakers' depth and their height. Now, it's still going to be a tough series. I'm not going to say it's not, but the Lakers, with the star power that they have, they have leadership. That's the one thing that they lacked with the Clippers. The Clippers had no leadership. The leadership that the Lakers have with the power, with the height, I don't see how the Lakers can lose. I mean, look, anything can happen, but if the Lakers lose with the four teams left, And the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals, I mean, this is the Lakers to lose. How about that, Key?
Yeah, it is. Now, speaking of that, let's just crystal ball assume future. Miami comes out of the East. The Lakers come out of the West. Will Miami have anything? I know Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler's not scoring at high volume. Will they have anything to give the Lakers?
Yeah, if they get hot from the three-point, I mean, look, you know, I did this breakdown last night. The amount of stuff, Keyshawn, have you ever played those teams in AAU basketball or rec league or whatever league it was, where you're just chasing somebody around constantly, where by the time you're done with the possession, you're like, damn, I got no window left to do my thing offensively.
Yes.
Right? Like, though, that's how Miami plays. That's how Duncan Robinson last night made so many threes. Tyler Hero made buckets. Jimmy Butler didn't score a lot until he needed to down the stretch. Defensively, they play zone. That's the one scary thing, though, when you think about the Lakers. All right, you got some shooters. You got Danny Green out there. You got Kyle Kuzma. You got LeBron to an extent. You got AD mid-range. But they can gunk it up by playing zone. And if you guys, if the Lakers have a poor shooting, you know, night, yeah, could Miami Heat win a couple? Yeah, they could. And it all depends on how they win a couple. But still, the Lakers would be heavily, heavily favored. They should be heavily, heavily favored moving forward in every game they're playing from here on out.
So, Jay, when you watched the game last night as we was texting and you stopped texting me because I think you got mad at me because I said some mean stuff to you.
No, because you got joking around all the time. There's a lot of jokes, a lot of hype jokes, 5-10. It's relentless, Key. That's why I shut you out. I get locked in on the games.
Well, it wasn't my fault that you was the same size as Baker Mayfield at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
No, and about the same size as London Fletcher. No, I'm 6'2". Stop doing that to me publicly.
Hey, so when you watched the game last night, what did you see out of Baker and Odell? You know, it seemed like they got on the same page finally.
Yeah, you know, I kept having you on my left shoulder chirping to me the whole damn game. And I'm sitting there wondering, okay, like hearing all the conversation this morning about his contract and if you're going to pay Baker, does it make sense to move him? I still, watching that game against the Bengals, man, like with all the talent I know they won, I wish they would have won in a more convincing fashion, right? Like I'm still watching the game last night, Key, saying Joe Burrow and these guys are still in it. Mixon is a beast. They're still in it. They're still right there. So in that division, I mean, ultimately, can you win the way you would like to win? Is it a step in the right direction for Baker and OBJ? Yes. But I also feel like it's becoming one of these scenarios because of the talent they have. It feels like this Cleveland team is in New York. You know how it is in New York. Like, you could beat a team by 10, by 12, but if you're not waxing a team with the talent that they have by 20, people are still trying to find what's wrong with you. And if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, if they don't start winning in convincing fashion, then this is going to be something that we're going to talk about this team with all year long. And I wonder how much they're going to be willing to take that relentless pressure of living up to the expectation with the talent they have around them.
You are listening to Jason Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN basketball analyst, former NBA player, 2001 NCAA champion at Duke. You are listening to him in his own show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The other quarterback, what did you see in the other quarterback in young Joe Burrow?
I like Joe Burrow, man. I mean, look, I want him to be protected. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I walked away last night saying, I like where Joe Burrow's going. I like what Baker gave me, but can Baker do it all the time? I feel like I walked away saying, I know what Joe can do all the time, which is crazy to say for a rookie quarterback in his second game. And I walked away from Cleveland saying, I'm not sure Baker can do this every night. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We will see. We're always breaking new ground on the show, and for the first time in the month or so we've been on the air here, weekday mornings on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, we've got a new segment to debut. Fascinating, because Jay loves the spreads. He loves basketball, but you may not know he loves playing golf, and he's a burgeoning gambler. So we want to kind of have a fun little game here that we're calling, and we're going to incorporate some odds into all the games, because I know some of you care about more than the final score. There's some other numbers that are important. It's called Jay Will or Won't. And Key and I will run through these and get Jay's opinion. Once again, any of the numbers we mention are courtesy of Caesars William Hill. So we've got some interesting little tidbits. We're not just going to go pick this game, pick that game, pick against the spread. We're going to dive in. Los Angeles, Philadelphia, McVay, Peterson. The first team to turn it over. Philly, L.A., or the longest of all odds, nobody turns it over at all.
Come on, Zubin, I'm going Philly. Did you see what Chase Young, the rookie, did to that O-line last week? Are you kidding? And now we have Aaron Donald coming in town, chasing Wentz around with that O-line being decimated. I'm taking Philly in this one. Minus 117. Let's go.
I would do the same in this situation.
Carolina, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady's first quote-unquote home game. The first scoring play will be from the best odds to the worst. A Carolina touchdown, a Carolina field goal, at least for them, better odds for the touchdown than the field goal. Or you're thinking Tampa touchdown or a Tampa Bay field goal, Jay?
I'm going Tampa Bay touchdown. Look, all this talk about Tom Brady and his wide receivers, will they get on the same page? Throwing two INTs last weekend. Brady scored in his first drive last week. Carolina surrendered 34 points to the Raiders. I'm looking for the Bucs to go out to a good start.
See, I would take the field goal in this situation. Brady, slow start, stall in the red zone, kick the field goal, take the three.
All of our odds courtesy of Caesars, William Hill. The Kansas City Chiefs, the champs on the long week. They will take on the Los Angeles Chargers. So you know we're going to probably go big, big points here because of Mahomes. All right, Jay, total matching touchdowns. 7 or more at plus 170.
Ooh.
5 to 6. 3 to 4. Or the longest of odds at plus 700, under 3.
This one's tough for me. I think I'm going to go to 5 to 6 range. I know KC is going to score. The Chargers only put up one TD last week. I don't see this being a shootout, but I think KC can put up 4 to 5 themselves. So I'll go 5 to 6 range.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Jay in that one, 5 to 6. I think they can do 4 easy by themselves. And Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, the offense is not great in what to call them, San Diego, in Los Angeles with the Chargers right now.
So let's strip this one down. This one won't be as nuanced. Baltimore at Houston, Lamar and Deshaun. We're just going to go winning margin. Houston wins by 1 to 6 points, or Baltimore wins by 7 to 12. Those are the options.
I'm going to go Baltimore 7 to 12. I just, maybe even more than that, guys. I just think it's too much offense from the Ravens with the way they play, with the style they play, with how much yards they gain on the ground. And with Lamar hitting people outside the numbers, what he showed me last weekend, I'm going to go 7-12 range.
I'll stick with Jay in that 7-12. I watched Houston's defense against Kansas City. They're facing a similar task, a tall order with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Giants at Bears. Total matching turnovers.
20.
We had to do this for Trubisky, right?
Come on, Keith. Don't do me dirty like that.
It's Trubisky.
You know I'm getting emotional for this pick.
That's right, because Jay, of course, as you may know, is a huge Giants fan, as Jay's admittedly himself said that, you know, Daniel Jones has a little trouble holding on to the football, and Trubisky kind of same thing. Total match in turnovers. All right, Jay, 2 to 3 combined at plus 110. Then we'll ramp it up from 4 to 5 at plus 200, or under 2 at plus 390. Relatively clean game.
Zubin, I wish you could see me right now. I'm taking my fist and I'm banging it against my forehead because I want to say it's going to be low turnovers, but seeing what our offensive line did to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know the Steelers are a completely different defense, one of the best pass-rushing defenses there is in the league, but I like the value of the 4 to 5 range, man. I think Daniel Jones turned it over. I think the Bears should get pressure all day long.
That's a little high for me on a turnover match, turnover margin. I'm going to go 2 to 3. I think when you look at Mitch Trubisky, they're going to try to keep him settled down from turning the ball over. And then I think Danny Dimes will have learned from his week one mistakes and not repeat the same mistakes twice again.
Jay Will is with
us. Keep preaching that positive energy to me, Key. I like that. I like when you talk positive about my squad.
I didn't say they was going to win. I just said they was going to change some stuff.
You didn't have to come with a negative. Just why do you do that every time to me? Just let me have one positive.
And last one for you. It'll be the final game of Sunday. Pats at the Seahawks. The first scoring play, a New England touchdown, maybe with Cam at plus 215, or a New England field goal at plus 375. So the first scoring play just for the Pats here.
I'm going to go with the New England field goal here. Seattle's defense is strong. I think they'll buckle down in the red zone. And I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Josh McDaniels tries to use Cam in the red zone, but ultimately running, I think they get held up early. I think they kick the field goal.
If you know anything about the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick on the road, he wants to get points. And if they stall, he's certainly going to kick a field goal. That's just, he needs points on the road, even though there's no 12th man.
Right. So both guys concur on that. Jay, it was great to have you join your own program. We'll look for you tomorrow night on NBA Countdown. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning.
We should have put him on the clock. He's a guest.
It's great, Dave.
You know what, Keith? Sometimes I hate you so much and I love you.
That is very...
so concerning.
Yeah.
Very concerning.
Hate is a very harsh word. I wouldn't use that on national radio and TV.
Extremely dislike.
It may confuse our listeners that we really have issues with each other.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jay. We might have to reconfigure the set on Monday. Maybe put me in the middle so you guys don't have to sit right next to each other. You have to make sure you guys are at arm's length. Obviously, the fellas are just joking. Keyshawn, Jay, Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That includes the reporter that spends more time with Keys Lakers than anyone else. That's Dave McMenamin. We will ask Dave, and I know this question is going to be asked, Key, if LeBron wins this title in this year, in this bubble, does it mean anything less than the ones he won in Miami and the one in Cleveland? They're just four wins away from the NBA Finals. Dave McMenamin is next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You heard it on ESPN 850 WKNR. Key was watching it on ESPN News. Thing of Beauty in the Air, 43 yards, Baker to OBJ.
Man, that stutter go just took it right off the top.
35-30, Browns win over the Bengals. The Browns have a little bit of a long week. They can get the NFC East, their next two games, the Washington football team, and then America's team after that on the road. Not to be missed, Joe Burrow, 37 for 61.
Man, too many throws.
Too many, 61 for 316 and three touchdowns. The Elias Sports Bureau telling us it's the NFL single-game completion record by a rookie. The Bengals may be 0-2, but this dude has some moxie. The Bengals are looking all right. They haven't won a playoff game in 30 years, but we'll see. And Baker was flexing there. Indeed, Heat over the Celtics. Heater flex into a 2-0 series lead. They've never lost a series when leading 2-0, which doesn't bode well for Boston. They were down 17. Key, they rallied. They were down a dozen entering the fourth in game one. Game three, ESPN, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. They could put the Celtics on the brink.
The grit and the grind is crucial.
Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, aligned in that way. Hard work. Nuggets Lakers tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern ESPN Radio. You can watch it on TNT for the Western Conference Finals. Key saying Lakers in five. Jokic is coming off a 16-22-13 game. Ho-hum.
But he's the Clippers.
But trying to do that against Anthony Davis, you're saying, might be a little bit easier said than done.
Yeah, AD, Dwight, JaVale, we'll run all three at him.
We'll see what Murray does tonight, too. Nuggets have never been to the NBA Finals. All the other three teams left have multiple championships, including the Lakers 16. We'll see what happens tonight, 9 Eastern ESPN Radio. SportsCenter is brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season at Sport Clips. Haircuts, all stylish, are clean certified, and guy smart. Get yourself back in the game with Sport Clips MVP experience. Enjoy a hot steam towel, relaxing shampoo, and winning cut. Check in online. Walk out with confidence.
Western Conference Finals is new for me. Obviously, the goal is to win a championship.
Nobody wants us here. Nobody thinks that we can do something.
We've been doing this. I don't know how many times, you know, we got to prove it over.
What a performance by this Nuggets team.
They are the comeback kids from Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Better start giving this team some damn respect.
And for us, it's the opportunity to play for a championship.
Love it. Love it. Love it. The four voices you heard there. Jerry Kosmiski, the voice of the Denver Nuggets. Mike Breen. On ABC, ESPN, Jamal Murray, and of course, the King, LeBron James. Keyshawn, J. Wall, Zubin, brought to you by Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Straight to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line for Dave McMenamin. 24-7, 365 with Keys Lakers. This is your squad. This is your series, Key. Take it away.
Dave, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Key? How are you, man?
Good. Just waiting for the night. It feels like I'm getting ready to start tailgating as soon as I leave the office here. Let me ask you this question. Third championship, three teams for LeBron James in Los Angeles. 2020 been a disaster year for all of us all over the world. What would this mean if LeBron capped this one off for a champ with a championship?
I mean, I'm a L.A. transplant, but now I've spent, if you add up all the years, about close to a decade of my life out there. And the Lakers are a way of life. And, you know, as much as it would mean to LeBron James's personal legacy, and, you know, he'd be the first major superstar if he obviously if he won Finals MVP to do it on three different teams. And that's a whole other conversation. But I just think for the sports scene of Los Angeles, for the fabric of families and friends and generations of sports fans in L.A., you know, the Lakers winning, I think, would put people, you know, in a winner's mindset. And sometimes you just need a win, right? It can put some wind in your sails and some pep in your step. I think all of Southern California, even though there are some Clippers fans out there, but all of Southern California would feel good about themselves in a difficult time if the Lakers won.
Yeah, Clipper fans are now hiding based on what the Nuggets did to them. Speaking of the Nuggets, the Lakers have the ability, obviously, to throw multiple lineups, different personnel groupings at the Nuggets. Can the Nuggets handle that?
I mean, the Nuggets, yes. The way LeBron put it yesterday lets you know how the Lakers view the Nuggets. He said, we have all the respect in the world, or our respect level is out of this world for this ball club. And, you know, it's not just that they came back from 3-1 twice. No other team's done it. And LeBron knows how special that is, because obviously the biggest accomplishment of his career was coming back from 3-1 down to the Warriors in the 2016 finals. But, you know, they had their battles in this regular season. And that was a team when the Lakers, you know, they really just came together this year, right? You had AD in the offseason, and that was a measuring stick type of team. The Lakers played Denver the last game before the All-Star break. And LeBron, you know, I've been around him long enough, he was treating it like a playoff game. He wasn't talking to guys in the locker room pregame. He had that look. And they really wanted to get it to prove, not just to go into the All-Star break like feeling good about themselves, but to prove that they were better than Denver, because they viewed Denver as a team they would have to reckon with down the line. And here they are playing them in the Western Conference final.
What do we need to do to slow down Murray?
Man, I mean, obviously you had to give respect to what Frank Vogel did with his trapping schemes in the second round against James Harden. James Harden, the NBA's leading scorer, they held him, you know, significantly below his regular season average of almost 35 points per game. And, you know, to me, it wasn't necessarily that you trapped him against Harden. It was that you kept switching up the defenses. You know, you're throwing doubles at him sometimes in the half court. You're throwing doubles at him sometimes in the back court. You are manning him up, you know, with a more physical type of guy on some possessions. And, you know, LeBron was guarding Harden some in the second round. Or you're trying to pester him with Rajon Rondo at times. And so I think that would be the key. You can't give Murray the consistent diet of anything. Don't let him get into a rhythm. And certainly try to keep him off the foul line, because great scorers, when they see the ball go through the net – at the foul line, you know, their confidence level spikes, and, you know, then you're starting to pull from deep beyond the three-point line before the defense even gets set, and that's where you get in trouble. Mm.
That's a great point, because when we entered the bubble, all of the talk was about Devin Booker. Then we got to the playoffs, all the talk was about Damian Lillard. And now at this stage of the playoffs, those two guys have broken out, although we always knew how good of a player Dame Lillard was. Right now, the breakout star has certainly been Jamal Murray. Again, 9 Eastern tonight, game one on ESPN Radio. And then game three of the Celtics and the Heat. Dave was at the game last night. That'll be on ESPN tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Settle in for a huge weekend of hoops. Dave, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yes, fellas. Take care, guys.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Dave McMenamin, one of the best on the Lakers beat. Great gig to have if you can get it. Key, one thing I wanted to ask Dave, but I'll just ask you, and I think this is important. Look, if James Harden had won the NBA championship, let's say the Rockets had advanced past your Lakers and won, I don't think there'd be any question. If Harden won it, it would just be the validating moment. He's got his title. He's one of the best scorers of his generation. If Giannis had won it, Giannis himself said, hey, man, there's never going to be more adversity in this playoffs than he'll ever see in his career. But there is always, because it's LeBron, there's always the, well, you know, it really wasn't 82 games, and it was in the bubble, and the Bucks had the better record, and they would have had the home court. If the Lakers are going to cut down the nets and win their 17th NBA championship this year, as you predict they will, to tie the Celtics for the most all time, putting those two great rivals on the same page as each other again, what is the prevailing notion now that they're essentially 8 wins away that, you know, it's a title, but I don't know. Only LeBron gets that sort of treatment.
There is no it's a title, yeah, but there is none of that. You said it. Giannis has said it. Others have said it that actually play in the NBA. You know how difficult it is under these circumstances? Everybody's equal,
I've been called worse, believe me. Much worse.
Everybody's equal, right? Everybody that played in the bubble in the playoffs are equal. They're right. Basically eating the same food. They're lifting the same weights. They're sleeping in the same hotels. Everybody's doing the same thing. There is no home court. I joked earlier about Boston obviously having a better record. They lost 2 at home. Now they go to Miami, right? In the bubble.
In the bubble. It's
only thing's going to change is a logo here, a logo there, but they're still in the same building with the same lights. So when people say that, oh, well, it's a shortened season, okay, so you give me another 5 games, big deal, okay? I was already cooking and taking care of business to get the number one seed in the regular season.
Right.
So I don't understand why it would be a question other than you just don't like LeBron. And if you don't like LeBron, you don't like LeBron. He still, if he wins a championship, it's his 3rd title on 3 different teams that he, I don't want to say he carried Miami because he really didn't. He was part of that.
Right.
He carried Cleveland.
No doubt. And he's
a major part of the Lakers because of AD. And he is his attitude and those sort of things have helped the team. Now, Rondo is now the 3rd wheel of this 2-headed monster with AD
playoff
and LeBron,
Rondo.
Playoff Rondo. If he can only show up for the playoffs, I think we take that and we'd be happy. I don't understand the disdain and the hatred for a champion like LeBron James. Right. I don't understand it. I do understand it, but I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand why people don't like LeBron to win championships and be a certain way because they view him as polarizing, but yet and still, you should be rooting for guys like this instead of rooting against.
Makes total sense. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The only thing I would add to that is this. When the Spurs won the championship in 1999,
The Spurs won. I don't know. How many games was it?
50.
Okay, they won.
And they're not telling Pop when you go into Springfield to give your speech, hey, you know, and how about this? 2012, 2013? The Heat with LeBron won it in a 66-game schedule because there was a labor disagreement. And nobody's telling you 7 years later or 8 years later that that's not a legitimate title.
But
I think this will dissipate with time.
But it's so much that's going on in our country.
In the world,
in 2020,
yeah.
In the world. From the passing of Kobe Bryant and Gigi to the pandemic to everything in Black Lives Matter, to what's getting ready to happen in November.
Sure.
So you got all of those sort of things pulling people in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know the side that LeBron is on,
yep.
And some people don't agree with that. So when he wins the championship, those that don't agree with that weigh in. That's what it is.
Fair enough. I'd also just mention the passing of David Stern, who made the NBA
that too.
As big as it has become for the old commissioner.
I love you. You got you got a mind like an elephant, man. You will not forget certain things.
Still to come, you have seen Bill Belichick heap praise upon his own quarterback, Cam Newton. Wait till you see what he's saying about the opposing quarterback, Russell Wilson, on Sunday. Comments straight from Belichick that you normally don't hear. That's on the way.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And before we let you go this morning, we'll have a blast from the past. I want to talk about Bill Belichick, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And in just a moment, some really funny stuff from this morning, if you missed it, on the guy that essentially helped Bill Belichick become the head coach he is. That's Bill Parcells. That's in just a moment. Key had some fun with him. Key played for him for a couple different teams. And it's the kind of fun you can expect in the morning. So give us a couple seconds. We'll get to that, I'm sure. You'll enjoy it. But there is another Bill in the house that we need to talk about. And that is, of course, Bill Belichick, who served under Bill Parcells with the Giants. You know how much he has gone out of his way. The effusive praise that he's put on Cam Newton, how much he's loved it, how much Cam has loved playing for Bill Belichick. But the other quarterback on Sunday night, the Pats are going to be playing the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. Belichick, this isn't the greatest praise in the world, but for a guy that doesn't hand out a ton of plaudits, this is what he said about Russell Wilson. You can make it pretty clear he's very impressed. He went on to basically say Russell Wilson is underrated. But I'd have to say, like, Russell Wilson is underrated. You'd have to kind of say it in the Belichick voice. So he essentially said, look, this guy's incredible. You had a great stat the other day, Key, in which you said that he's never gotten an MVP vote. Even though the MVP voting is a little different in the NFL, you're not stacking 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But he didn't even get one person.
Like
to
a
say,
Heisman vote. But it's
but
ridiculous,
still didn't
right?
get one person to check off that box with his name.
So what do you make of Bill Belichick? I know it's just coach speak, and he's not interested in really being up there talking to us anyway. He's just doing it. But he really has said about Russell Wilson what many people should have been saying for a long time.
Well, it's a couple things here. He actually really believes what he's telling us, right? He really believes what he's saying about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is 2-0 against him. But also he's talking to his team. He's talking to that young defense, but he's talking through the media at the same time. But he also wants to inflate Russell Wilson's head and get Russell Wilson feeling good about himself. This is one of the oldest tricks in the books for great coaches. I mean, you talk about Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells would do that. You never hear Parcells or Belichick talk about current players or give current players that play under them any sugar publicly. Everything is, oh, well, we all play good. They did a good job. What did you expect? You know, they blocked for him well. I remember, you know, it's just one of those deals where they just don't praise their own team until the end. And that's a great thing. Give praise to the opponent. Respect your opponent. Make them feel good, then go in there and pop them. And that's what he's doing, talking to his team along with inflating Russell Wilson's ego. So when he lets his guard down, I got him. But he really believes what he's saying about him now. He's not just saying it to say it. And I think that that is the brilliance of guys like that, coaches that are like that.
What do you make of the fact that Russell Wilson is now in a position here where, you know, look, it's what I love about Russell Wilson. If he's not going to get any credit this year, he may never get it in regards to the amount he deserves. I'm not saying he's played without credit. We saw what happened in Atlanta on Sunday in the opener.
You know, why he gets credit, Z, and how he gets his checkbook.
Right, yeah,
one of the highest paid quarterbacks. If there was a disrespect and they didn't respect him and Pete Carroll didn't feel a certain way about him, they wouldn't be making him a $40 million damn quarterback.
That's true. I did see that video with Ciara when they got Go Hawks. I think they were really excited to get that money. And Russell Wilson's worth every single penny. But now the offense is more shifted towards him. Marshawn's gone. It's not the Legion of Boom. People could say early on the defense carried them. But at this point forward, Pete Carroll made the decision, we're going with this guy.
But what other team in your history that you've seen that have won Super Bowls that early on, it was about the defense and running the ball?
The only one I can think of is maybe Ben Roethlisberger early with the Steelers.
No, the New England Patriots.
Okay, that's
those first couple Super
that's
Bowls
fair.
Was
yeah,
about
right.
Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law, and then they turn around and hand it to Corey Dillon and those guys. But for the most part, Tommy Boy didn't lead the charge until later on,
great point.
They shifted to throwing the ball more and less about running and mixing it up.
That's a great point. And now on the opposite sideline on Sunday, that team is taking the same tact. Russell Wilson now at the center. Great point there.
And you know what's so funny, though, about Cam Newton has loosened up Bill Belichick, too. People don't really see it. I see it.
That's an intangible.
I see it. It's one of those deals where Bill is being more playful. I mean, think about when he came on our show the first day. He was talkative and he gave us more than 30 seconds. you see the tongue-in-cheek with Pete Carroll yesterday. Now he's doing it to Russell Wilson. I even saw to a point, and I don't know when they shot the video of the commercial. He's cutting off the sleeves in the commercial.
Subway
commercial. Yeah. So Cam Newton's even loosening him up. In a minute, Bill might figure out how to get the hair like Cam and wear a scarf. Just never know. If it goes that way, that means that New England is on to something.
Real quick, speaking of Bill, run this, guys. Key, you might have got the play call a little wrong.
I did get it a little wrong, and it's so crazy. And so my former coach, Bill Parcells, just texted. He goes, Key, the Beckham play was not 259 squirrel. The play was 359 squirrel. Mm. That's another mental error. He goes, Key, get your ass in gear. Bill Parcells, love you. That's so funny. He's still coaching me after all these years. Still coaching.
You never know who's listening. He texted you after you made that comment this morning, texted right into the show to you.
Yeah, I got the action wrong. The play was right, but the action was wrong. 259 is the other way. 359 is to the left. And so he was listening, and he just wanted to correct me, but he also let me know that I screwed it up. Therefore, he would be fining me. And that's the stuff he used to do.
Coaches never stop coaching. We'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.